So this series, we are looking at this passage from Acts chapter 2. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So this morning, we're looking at learning, that first bit of the sentence. So, is this relevant for us today? Because surely our learning stops when we leave school or college or higher education, doesn't it? It seems that these believers that are talked about in Acts are just normal Christians. This is what they did every single day. It was part of their normal lives. They weren't scholars. They weren't A-star, A-plus students. They were just normal believers. So why should learning be part of our normal Christian lives? So to start off with, I'd like us all to have a think about what barriers there are to our learning. I'm going to ask my glamorous assistant here to come and write up your suggestions on this flip chart. So I'll be coming round, and if you'd like to shout out or use the microphone, any problems or barriers that you find with learning?
Distractions.
Concentration.
Memory.
Learning disabilities.
Lack of time.
Too complicated.
Tiredness.
Pride.
Money.
Noise.
Preconceived set ideas.
Family.
It even says in the Bible that there's no end to the writing of books and too much study will wear you out. I think somebody said tiredness. My own experience, as many of you will know, I'm a doctor. There are many, many exams that you have to pass to be a doctor. And then even when you've qualified, there are many more exams if you want to specialise. I think I sat exams until my early 30s. Too much study really did wear me out. It was really quite tiring. But my motivation was that I had to pass those exams in order to progress in my career. So this morning I want you to think a little bit about what gives you that passion for learning. What motivates you? So we're going to be looking at the what, whys, the whats, and the hows. And we're going to start off with why we learn. So I've placed some Bible... before we do that, I'd like to just go around and ask you again what any ideas of why we learn, what motivates us to learn. Come around this way this time.
Thirst for knowledge.
A thirst for knowledge, thank you.
Understand what you're doing.
Understand?
To grow.
To grow.
To achieve greater heights.
Stimulation.
To share your learning.
To share your learning.
Improves my life.
Get better.
Get better.
A necessity.
A necessity.
To be able to do things.
To be able to do things. Thanks, Keith. That's brilliant. So you will notice that round the church, possibly on chairs in front of you, there are bits of paper with attached to the chair with black tape. If you'd like to take off those bits of paper. If there's one near you, that's great. Now, these are all Bible readings that we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, if you are happy to read out that reading yourself, that's great. If you would rather not, please pass it down the line, pass it backwards and forwards, until it finds somebody who is happy to read it out. So if everybody's found their Bible reading and the Bible reading's found a home, so I think, Di, you've got the first one.
Ephesians 4:13-14. Our goal is to become like a full-grown man, to look just like Christ and have all his perfection. Then we'll no longer be like babies. We will not be people who are always changing, like a ship that waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to deceive us.
Thank you, Di. So this, to me, is saying if we familiarise ourselves with the truth, then we can't be led astray. So that is a really important motivation for us to learn. It's to protect us from false teachings. Reading number 2.
Proverbs 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death.
Thank you. So to learn is to be alive. To be living is to learn. And if we don't learn, we fade away. God wants us to keep learning. So why do we learn? Well, learning can be fun. I'm sure we've all seen an entertaining documentary or listened to a great talk or read a really fascinating book. And it's really helped us to learn. So learning can be fun. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard work. It can give us a great protection from false teaching. It helps us to get to know God better. And it helps us to know how to live. But I was interested to know what children think about learning. So I asked a random selection of stray children that I found dotted around the place why they wanted to learn, what was important about learning for them. Thank you, John.
I learn to know the key things about life so I can survive.
I learn because it's fun.
I learn so that when I know something, then I can get a good job.
Because I need to know more about stuff.
We learn things about school because we need to learn about crafts so you can do them at home if you want to.
I learn for education.
I learn because
I really like books and dolls.
I need to live. That's basically it.
And we like to and we learn about how crying nicely and how talking nicely.
Thank you. But we might still say surely learning is just for the clever people among us. People like David Burfield, for instance. Surely I'm too, I don't know, young, too old, too uneducated. Why should I learn? But it's interesting when you look at the example set by Jesus and his disciples, because Jesus certainly didn't put in any barriers to learning, did he? He taught everybody from little children all the way through to older people. He taught scholars, he taught uneducated people, he even taught women. And in fact, he made a special point of teaching women and uneducated people. And this was quite a shock to the society of the day, because back then, the boys were generally the ones who got the education. And if you were a clever boy and you were came from the right family and you passed your equivalent of the 11 plus, then you got your scholarship to go to sit at the feet of a famous teacher of the law or a Pharisee. You got your further education and you could learn more about the Torah, the Bible, as you grew. So the learning process was quite selective and it was quite long, and it was certainly not for the likes of fishermen. And Jesus took fishermen as his disciples. He didn't care that they hadn't passed their 11 plus or gone through the education system. He taught uneducated people. It was interesting. I don't know if any of you here watched The Apprentice. Yeah. But actually, the guy that won the top prize this year, that became Lord Sugar's next business partner, was somebody who was a relatively uneducated guy. He left school at 16. He was a plumber. And yet he won the top prize. And it's kind of a bit like that with Jesus. He took people who were relatively uneducated and gave them the top prize. Jesus was not worried about their level of education. So maybe we're relative beginners in the Christian life, but that's okay too. Has anybody got reading number 3?
1 Peter 2, 2-3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
What an appropriate person to read that. Thank you. So babies, like your little baby, can only digest milk. It is simple, straightforward food for a baby. And new Christians can only take in simple truths. There's no point trying to explain to them the depths of Calvinism or something. Simple things for new Christians are what is appropriate, like newborn babies. But there's always something more to learn. Reading number 4.
Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity.
Thank you. So as we progress through our Christian lives, we tend to move beyond the easy teaching and get to grips with more challenging teachings. And then a message for the wise among us. Number 5.
Proverbs 9:9. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning.
Thank you. So we learn because we need to. And God wants us to, and it's fun. So hopefully I've filled you with a sense of great passion and motivation for learning. So that's the why do we learn. But next I want to look at what do we learn. So what is learning? Well, learning is a relatively permanent change in behaviour that results from experience. And it can be split down into 3 different aspects. So first of all, we have attitudes. Now, these are things of the heart. It's our feelings. It's all about how we behave, how we develop that right relationship with God. As Jesus puts it, it's how we learn to love God and to love others. So that's what we need to learn first and foremost, about loving the character of God. The second aspect is skill, our actions, what we do with our hands, a practical aspect, how we live our lives, from how we break bread together, how we give, how we use our gifts, how we act as Christians. And then the third aspect is knowledge, or what we do with our brains, our thoughts. It's knowledge, reading the Bible, reading about great Christians who have lived, reading about Christian history. Can I have reading number 6?
Proverbs 6:23. For the command is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the ways of life.
Thank you. Yes, a teaching helps us to show the way and correct us when we're going wrong. Has anybody got number 6?
2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by God. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work.
Thank you. So we need to read the Bible so that we know how to live. It helps us with our head knowledge as well as our feelings and our actions. So it helps us in all three of those aspects. So that's what we learn. How about how we learn? Can anyone tell me roughly what percentage of my talk today you'll remember in a few days' time? 2%? 5%? 20%? That's impressive. Yeah. A lot of research has actually shown that your retention rates, in other words, what you remember for something like a lecture, which is essentially what a sermon is realistically likely to be less than 10%. And actually, what you learn and what you take away is likely to go up the more involved you are. So if you teach this particular subject, whether you preach it or whether you take it on at on this week's life groups and you actually lead the discussion, you're more likely to learn from that than you are from sitting there listening to me this morning. But thankfully, that research just looks at secular learning, because what is taught and what is learnt are two different things. And actually, it's not what I teach you, but what you learn that's important. It's not what is taught, but what is caught. And it often seems odd to me that I will preach a sermon, and I guess probably Tom, David, Keith, you might find this as well. You preach a sermon, and you think that you're saying something fairly obvious, and somebody will come up to you at the end, and they will say that they've got something completely different to what you thought you'd said. And that is very different to what somebody else got. And that is the doing of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit at work, because it is all down to what the Holy Spirit wants to put on your hearts. So it doesn't matter if your 5% is different to your 5%, is different to your 5%, because actually the Holy Spirit will have your individual 5% that he will want to put on your heart from every different talk. But the important thing is that we actually ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, because if we just come to church without actually inviting him to teach us, then it will be no better than just coming to a secular talk and actually just trying to learn whatever I said before. It has to be down to the Holy Spirit, and you have to open your eyes to the truth. I think we're up to reading number 8.
Ephesians 1:17-18. I pray that he will give you the Spirit, who will let you know truths about God and help you understand them, so that you will know him better. I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth.
Thank you. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach us. Now, I want to return to the amazing example that Jesus sets us. We sang before I stood up to preach, "I stand in awe of you." And in a very small way, I completely stand in awe of Jesus as a teacher. He just got it. He's just awesome as a teacher. No wonder they called him teacher with a capital T. Have we got reading 9, please?
John 7:14-16. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me."
So everyone commented on what an awesome teacher Jesus was. So why was he so awesome? What was it about his teaching that was just incredible? Well, I want to divert a little bit. Okay, so look at that keypad. This is the keypad that will get you into a locked room. This is the code that you have to memorize for to get you through that keypad into the locked room. Those numbers can be entered in any order. Now, I want you to memorize that code. I'll give you a few little while to do it. Everybody had long enough? Okay, what was the code? Anyone? One at a time.
1279X.
Thank you. And how did you remember that?
I thought of 12 and 79. And then.
So you thought of the numbers. Okay, anybody else? Sorry?
Close together.
Close together on the keypad?
1, 2, 6, whichever. And 7 and 9 as well.
So you looked at the keypad and you looked at the pattern. Okay, good. Anybody else? Anybody learn it a slightly different way to either learning the numbers or looking at the pattern?
I just learned the year, 1972.
Yes, that's very good. So you learned the year. Anybody else do it any different way? Brilliant. Love it. Very good. So there's different ways. It's very simple, isn't it? But everybody has a slightly different way of remembering that code. And it's been shown that there are three different types of learning preferences that everybody here tends to exhibit. So some people are visual learners. You learnt the code by looking at the pattern that it took. Yeah, so you looked at 1, 2, 7, 9. Now, I'm a very, very visual learner. I like pictures. That's why my talks are filled with photographs, because that appeals to me. And visual learners, that's relatively common in among people. But you will like to see things. You will enjoy sermons that have got good visuals. Some people like to learn by hearing, and that would be people who look at the numbers, maybe 1927 or 1972, and remember the numbers. For instance, if you look back at one of my previous slides, if you look at the picture at the end of attitude, or skills or knowledge, that would appeal to the visual learners. So the heart, the hands, the brain, that appeals to the visual learners. The hearing learners will look at the A, the S, and the K, and they'll say, that spells ask. So if you had to memorize that slide, that's how the hearing learners would do it. They would look at the first letters and think of the word. And some people learn best by doing. For instance, David writing down the code. Or you might imagine yourself physically punching out the code on the keypad. And that's people who like learning by doing. They like learning by building models or by doing crafts. They pace up and down while they're on the phone. My husband does this all the time. It drives me mad. So people who like learning by doing might find that they're quite fidgety, or they have to do something while listening to the talk at the same time. I passed around the Bible quotes at the beginning, and that sort of thing, getting people to actually read out the quotes and actually get involved, actually appeals to people who like learning by doing. This is a picture of a lady called Dame Gillian Barbara Lynn. I don't know if any of you have heard of her. She's a famous British ballerina, and she choreographed Cats and the Phantom of the Opera. And when she was a little girl, she really struggled with her learning to such the extent she was underperforming. So her mother took her along to see the doctor. And the doctor took the mother outside, left the little girl in his office, but as he left the room, he turned the radio on. And then he encouraged her mother to look back through the window. And the mother saw that this little girl was dancing to the music on the radio. So that little girl he recommended should go to dance school, and she then went on to be a great dancer and choreographer. Dame Lynn's learning style was very much movement orientated. Now, obviously, very few of us are that extreme. Most of us have a mix of learning styles, but it's important to recognise in ourselves how we like learning so that we can actually adapt how we listen to what we're being taught. Let's go back to Jesus. Now, he knew this. When he spoke, it says in Mark, he taught them many things by parables. Now, he would have been aware that many of his listeners would have liked stories. It was very much the tradition in those days. But he taught them things by telling them stories. That would have really appealed to those learners who like learning by hearing. But he didn't leave out those who like learning by seeing things, so he did miracles. And he taught people by doing miracles, physical things that people could see. Great for the visual learners. And he didn't neglect those who like learning by doing, because he, by his life, by his demonstration of practical things like washing people's feet or sharing, breaking bread with his disciples, he showed practically how to live his life, how to follow him. And this is really what I want to finish with, because it's by spending time with Jesus that we actually learn the best. And we can certainly learn about him by coming to church or by going to life group, doing Bible studies, reading the Bible. Those are all important things. But we have a huge opportunity, don't we, to learn from him directly and from each other. Because we learn best by spending time with the people that we're trying to learn about. When I first got married to John, I thought I knew him pretty well. I knew that he liked curries, I knew that he didn't feel the cold, and I knew that he enjoyed windsurfing. But as time has gone on, I've got to know him a lot better. I've got to learn that he's a great dad, that he can fix things, and that he's really good at finding all the things I tend to lose around the house, glasses, keys, and so on. And in the same way, the best way we can learn about Jesus is by hanging out with him and by hanging out with other Christians. So it says in our passage today, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to going to church once a week. It doesn't say they devoted themselves to attending a Bible study once a week. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is an everyday event. This is 24/7. It's about listening to what the apostles had to say about important topics. It's about reading their letters and asking for explanations and clarifications. It's about hanging out with the apostles, learning directly from them by emulating their lifestyle. It's about sharing fellowship together, having meals together, and praying together. Because learning is about sharing your lives with each other.